Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Welcome to the weekly wrap-up. Happy Friday, everybody. So we're going to review the takeaways, the nuggets of wisdom from all of our awesome guests in just a minute. And I'm also going to answer a listener's leadership question. But I got to first say huge thank you to all of you who have tuned in and subscribed to the show. We broke into the iTunes Business Top 100 with our very first week. And an even bigger thank you to all of you who took the minute or two to leave a review on iTunes. We've got over 50 reviews already, but my goal is to break 100 because I don't think iTunes really recommends the show, any show, to other people unless it has at least 100 reviews. But I mean, these are awesome. JD left a review and said, "It's pure gold and helpful in my life and in my business." Thank you for leaving that review, JD. Matthew said, "It's an A-plus production." Matthew, if you only knew the craziness behind the scenes, we have been struggling with the production of this show. We think it worked out, but oh man, it's been a pain in the butt. TC said that I'm bringing my A game, and I always try to bring my A game, TC. And this person called 12KY34 wrote, "I like the casual style along with the practical information." That's exactly what I'm going for. Not that anyone has ever said I've had any style at all before. So I'll take casual style. Rocket Metal says, "I am hooked." And DC Data Scientist said, "Kevin is the real deal." No, DC, you're the real deal. And what this is all about, Servant 424 said that we are dropping value bombs galore. And that's the goal of the daily show. Casual, practical, change your life, change your career, value bombs. So if you haven't done it already, please take 2 minutes, hop on up to iTunes, search for LeadX, subscribe to the show, and then just leave a one or two sentence honest review. It would mean the world to me. All right. So in a minute, I'm going to answer the question, you know, what do you do if you are the one who isn't motivated at work? You know, what if you've been phoning it in as a manager or as a leader? But first, let's highlight the guests that we had this week. We kicked off with Jason Fried. Now, he's the CEO, co-founder of Basecamp. We were talking to him about his book Remote, but he's better known for his book called Rework. And this was really fun because Jason Fried, you know, his tech company, it's not a Google, you know, it's like 50, 60 people-ish. But when Jason Fried talks, the whole tech world listens because he kind of provides a counter voice to the raise venture capital, go for crazy valuations. You know, he believes profits matter. What a novel concept, especially in tech. And he's always been pushing the envelope when it comes to culture, including remote work. And what was just great, I don't know if you could hear it as a listener, but he is just so humble. Like, he's just super cool and humble. It was really fun to meet him over Skype and to talk to him. And, you know, his big points were, like, again, if you want the deep dive, go listen to the episode or read the article on leadx.org. But he says, like, pretty much these days, everyone should be allowed to work remotely, you know, wherever you want or from home or whatever. And for businesses, you know, that enables you to recruit the best talent in the country or on the planet, even. You know, what are the odds that all of the best programmers are going to be living, you know, within 50 mile radius of your headquarters, or the 50, you know, within 50 miles, you've got the best customer service people or the best salespeople or the best executives. You know, when you create a culture that supports remote work, then you can literally hire the best talent. And if you want the best talent, I mean, millennials more than any other generation, but people want flexibility. Flexibility is becoming the number one thing people want in their career. Not, you know, it's ahead of pay, ahead of benefits. It's flexibility. So, you know, the big aha for me when talking to Jason was, even though he's a big supporter of remote work, when I talked to him about, like, okay, let's say I'm in a big company, you know, traditional workplace, how do I convince my boss to let me work remotely? He kind of said, don't do it or it's going to fail. He didn't use those words, but he said that for remote working to work, everybody's got to be doing it, meaning the primary way the company operates has to support the remote workers. And that was a big thing for me, because like in all of my previous companies, I've always said, look, just get the job done. I don't really care where you work from. And I've had people in different countries, different states. But it's true that what would happen is, you know, the 50 of us that were in the office, someone would call for a meeting or even just our routine weekly meetings. And all the time we would like forget to dial in the three people that are working remotely. And usually we would remember on the big meetings, but like, I don't know if I'd say, hey, I got this great idea, or hey, we got a problem, pull everybody into the conference room or pull this team into the conference room. We would often forget or not be able to track down the remote worker. So you really need to make it the primary culture, the primary mode of working. And then if you've got people in the office, that's great, but they have to understand or and be comfortable with, you know, the remote check-ins, the remote to-do list, all the software that helps you to track your work. Anyway, and his 1% challenge, you know, he said, just cancel your next meeting. And that just reminds me, all the 300 high achievers I interviewed for Extreme Productivity, that came up over and over again. You know, when I asked Mark Cuban, what's your number one piece of advice for productivity? He's like, never take a meeting unless someone's writing you a check, which is maybe extreme, but the fewer the meetings, the better. Meetings just suck. We talked to Craig Ballantyne, who is the author of The Perfect Day Formula. And he, you know, told us that humans are meant for routine. We are at our best. We are most productive. We have the most energy when we have structure. And so his personal three C's is to control the morning, cope with the chaos in the afternoon, and then that allows you to concentrate on what matters in the evening, like family and friends. And I don't think I brought it up in the show, but I actually theme my days as well. It's my three C's. It's kind of weird that they're C's. But I say concentrate in the morning, collaborate in the afternoon, and connect in the evening. So all of my most important task work, all of my writing, all of my creative work is done before noon when my brain is at its best. Then I use afternoons to collaborate with other team members, usually, you know, other employees. But that would also be my time if I'm going to take meetings with people, you know, outside the organization. And then at night, I mean, it's connect maybe doesn't do it justice, but to me, connect means connect emotionally, connect with relationships. So that's eating dinner with my kids. It's date night. It's, you know, relaxing and enjoying time with other people. And, you know, Craig's 1% better challenge is he said, just get up 15 minutes earlier than you normally do before anyone else is up in your house. Go down to your kitchen table, use pen and paper, old fashioned pen and paper, write out your number one priority, your number one goal, and just sort of journal around that. What are you doing? You know, whether it's to lose weight or to get out of debt or to get a promotion at work, you know, write it down and start planning how you're going to do that. Remind yourself the tasks, the actions, the sub goals that you have around that area. We also spoke to, this was fun, talk about a cool cat, Chris Voss, former FBI agent who headed up their hostage negotiation team. This is literally the dude who spoke to the bank robbers who had hostages in the bank, who communicated with the terrorists, you know, often in you know, foreign countries, and just crazy, like stuff you see on movies kind of stuff. So he's in the private sector now, teaching us all how to be better negotiators. His book is Never Split the Difference. I mean, he is just like the coolest character I ever met. If you see his picture online, look him up. He looks cool. Looks like a guy you'd see, you know, in the movies. His voice, he's got like this cool radio voice. He's the guy you'd want if you ever get kidnapped. You want Chris Voss negotiating for your release. So one of the things he said, like the truest thing to a Jedi mind trick is mirroring. And what he would do is he would just repeat like the last two words someone uses, but he repeats them as a question. A question? Did you see? I just did it. A question? When you do that, when you mirror back the last two words they said, but put a question mark at the end of it, it's going to trigger their unconscious like response to go on. So they're going to talk more, and you kind of do it as many times as you can. And they keep talking, and you always want the other side negotiation to keep talking, to give you more information, to reveal more of what they truly want, to reveal their feelings. You know, so that was just the first thing he gave us. Like, this is jam packed. Like, you got to go buy his book. But like, until then, go read the article on leadx.org or just go listen to that episode. His 1% better challenge. I mean, he's so funny. He's like, I double dog dare you. I mean, FBI agent saying double dog dare you. He said, let the other people make their point first. So whoever you're talking to today, whatever you're negotiating, whatever you're doing in a meeting, let them fully express themselves. Use that mirroring, that Jedi mind trick to get them to tell you more and more and confirm that you understand them until they are going to say the words, that's right. Like, when you fully understand where they're coming from, what they want, their negotiating position, when you fully understand, they're going to say, that's right. Only then do you begin to kind of go with what your position is or what you want. And he says, most of us, we want to push our position out there. We want to put it on the table so we can meet in the middle or whatever. He says, let them go first. Get it all out of them. And they're going to feel so validated, so understood, so much that you're on their side, that they're going to be receptive to what you want. Man, that was a value bomb packed episode. Our final guest was Chris Ducker. And Chris Ducker, British entrepreneur, really nice guy, a personal branding guru. You know, he's got an online academy called Youpreneur. And, you know, Chris Ducker talked a lot about his philosophy. He was a great reminder. You know, we, instead of doing business as B2C, business to consumer, B2B, business to business, he says it's P2P, people to people. I've also heard it phrased H to H, human to human. He says it's about serving, not selling. And this has been true for a long time, but probably more true now with all the information noise out there, all the messages we get. You know, you serve, don't sell. And the better you serve, the more you will sell. And, you know, his daily challenge was just to take out a sheet of paper, put a line down the middle, and on the left, just take an inventory of all the things you're great at. And on the right, all the things you suck at. His words, not mine. And start to get a self-awareness of, okay, you know, how can you serve with what you're great at? How can you stop doing the stuff on the right? So that was just a great reminder from Chris Ducker. So let's do a little Q&A. So, you know, last Friday, I answered someone's question about, you know, how do you deal with an employee with a bad attitude, someone on your team member who's got a bad attitude. And this week, I got a question from Tatiana, who wrote in. She said, your podcasts have been great, but they forced me to realize that I'm not doing my best as a manager. I realize that I'm the one who isn't engaged at work. I'm kind of phoning it in. How do I get motivated again and start being a better leader? So here's the thing. If you're feeling burnt out or, you know, disengaged, or you just realize, dang, I really am not spending enough time with my people. I'm really not leading them. I'm a manager of tasks. I'm not a leader of people. And that's common. You need to realize there's two things you got to work on, your inner game and your outer game. So the inner game, the psychology is about how you feel about work, about your job. The outer game is your behaviors, the things you're going to say or do, the things that you're probably not saying or doing right now, you know, in terms of your interactions with your team members. So let's talk about the inner game. You need to think about why you aren't more engaged at work. You're not more motivated at work. So what's missing? You know, the research is pretty clear that the top three drivers of engagement are growth, recognition, and trust. You know, we all want to be growing and advancing, and we want to be challenged by our work at work. Recognition, we want to feel appreciated by our boss and our peers. And trust isn't just that I trust my boss, I trust the company, like from an ethics standpoint. It's part of that. But it's also about, like, I trust that our leadership has a great plan for the future. I trust that the future is bright. You know, tomorrow's going to be better than today. It's a future confidence. So think about these three items. You know, which are the most important to you? And which ones do you feel are lacking? You know, do you feel challenged at work? Do you feel like you're still growing and learning? Do you feel like you've got a good career path ahead of you? Do you feel appreciated for your contributions, for your efforts? Do you think that the leadership has a great plan? Do you believe in the future of your company, of your team? And we also know that about 70%, a little over 70% of the variance of engagement has to do with someone's boss. You know, our manager is the filter of all these things, growth, recognition, and trust. So think about your relationship with your boss, and is she doing a good job engaging you? You know, is it something that you just need to have a good, honest conversation with your boss? Like, hey, you know, I don't really see where my career path is. Can you help me figure it out? Or do you need to just sort of maybe leave your boss, like find a new position in your company? Or is it even worse than that? And you need to find a way out of the company. Do you need to land a new job somewhere else? So you need to think about that. Now, when it comes to the outer game, it's not hard. Like in management, the basics get you most of where you need to go. So the basics are like, you got to be doing one-on-ones each week with each direct report. So if you're not already doing them, that's a behavior, that's an action you can take right away. Just reach out to each direct report, put it on the calendar. Hey, you know, on Monday, I want to schedule 25 minutes or 20 minutes one-on-one, you know, to check in. And I can't go deep into like how to run these weekly calls. I've got articles on it, books. You can, you know, Google weekly one-on-ones and you'll find information, but you really need to be touching base kind of as a mini coaching conversation every single week. And then like the other big thing that you need to be doing to lead your team members to activate their growth trigger is you need to be having career path conversations. So immediately schedule those. Now, these might be 30 to 60 minute conversations every 6 months. So make it a recurring appointment. And you're just going to be talking to them about, hey, where's your head at these days? You know, where would you like to be in, you know, 3 years from now? Do you think you can do that here? What do you need to learn to make it happen? Who do you need to know to make it happen? What experiences do you need to have? And you're not going to guarantee that they're going to achieve that, but you're going to say, okay, now I'm mindful of it. I'm going to remain mindful of it. And I'm going to look for developmental opportunities and committees or make introductions or find you a mentor, you know, whatever it is that you can do to help them with their growth and development. And recommit to on-the-spot coaching conversations. You know, this was my kryptonite. Like, I always withheld feedback because I'm just so non-confrontational, you know, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings or get them mad. You can't do that as a leader, right? So if you see something, say something. Now, that doesn't mean like embarrass them in public. Don't ding them in public. But like, if you see a gap in someone's performance, you don't wait a week. You don't wait 10 months for their annual performance review the way I used to. You just pull them aside that day, that afternoon, and address it. If you see something, say something. So, you know, as you start to change your behaviors, your outer games, be patient with the response from your team. Because I remember Marshall Goldsmith, who does all that CEO coaching, he says the reason why it takes 6 months to a year to get the leader better, it's not that it takes that long for the leader to change her behaviors. It takes that long for people to notice and believe the new behaviors. You know, people just might think it's weird that you're doing this stuff and not give you any credit. And by the way, if they think it's weird or like, dude, what's with all these one-on-ones every Monday? You just say like, hey, you know, I believe everybody can always get better. I'd like to get better as a manager. I think I could do a better job of supporting you. So I just want to do, you know, once a week, I just want to check in, see what your most important task is for the week, see how I can help you, see if you're struggling in any area that I might be able to assist with you. It's all in the spirit of just trying to be a better manager. And then it will take some time for them to say, oh, wow, like this behavior's sticking. Kevin is doing a better job now. So that's it. Work on your inner game. And that, you know, that inner game work can take a while, but you can immediately go to the basics and recommit to coaching conversations, your weekly check-ins, your career path conversations. Hey, before we wrap up, don't forget, please hop on over to iTunes or Stitcher, search for LeadX, subscribe, leave a short, honest review. That would mean the world to me. And hey, if you leave a review on iTunes, send me a note. I'm at Kevin@leadx.org. We'll put you into our private ambassador group on Facebook. If you want to be, we'll send you a link. You don't have to join, but we raffle off electronics and books and do all kinds of fun stuff every month. Hey, next week, we've got Jeff Sanders telling us how to conquer our day before breakfast. Evan Carmichael is going to teach you how to discover your personal one word that encapsulates you, your life, your values. and how it can boost your career in life. David Marquet, former U.S. Navy submarine commander. He's going to teach us about intent-based leadership and the three words that all of his team members would use anytime they would talk to him. And Michael Port, I'm sure you know Michael, former actor, great leadership coach, great sales coach. And he's going to say, acting as a leader is good. Well, what about authenticity? Aren't we just supposed to keep it real? What is this acting business? I talked to Michael Port all about that. So until Monday, my friends, remember, leadership is influence. You, of course, influence people around you when you speak up, but you're influencing them when you choose to remain silent. You influence people when you step up, when you step forward, but you're also influencing people when you choose to be a bystander. Even your emotions, good or bad, they are contagious. They spread to those around you. All of this means you're a leader, you're an influencer, whether you want to be or not. So as you lead your family this weekend, as you kick off next week at work, I hope that you will lead intentionally.